At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
See why you're so, I don't know, upset about this.
I am genuinely shocked by your response once we started talking about this.
I have right now unread emails in my thing. Like when I look at my iPhone, like it has like the blue box with the envelope and it
yes,
says how many.
I'm familiar with an iPhone. I mean, they've been out for a while. Yep.
3,878 emails right now.
That is absolutely crazy to me.
Unread. So the average person, according to this new study, has 1,602 unread emails and 47 unread texts.
I mean, I don't even know how people are functioning with that kind of pressure on them.
Well, I understand the emails. I don't understand the texts. My dad is one of those guys. Like, I pick up his phone and it says like 116 text messages. And I'm like, Daddy.
Right.
And he's like, the people know how to reach me if they need me. They just call me on the phone. And I'm like, yeah, but Dad, these people are trying to text you because it's 2021 and that's what people do now.
Everybody right. actually communicates by text.
Right. No, not in his world. His world, if you want to find him, you know where he'll be at work. You can call or just show up. He'll
right,
be there.
Right. That's probably the best way to have a conversation with him.
But I understand the unread emails. Like I have those almost 4,000 unread emails. I set out times where I just delete emails. I have so much spam now.
Well, right. But I mean, I set spam filters and I clear those out as they come in throughout the day. So every given moment, if I pick up my phone, there could be 20 new messages in there. But I clean out those emails right away. Look at my phone.
Yeah, I get it.
There's not a single number. I have one text message right now. I better check on it right now.
But it's probably like I don't know. I'm busy. Sometimes I don't have time to delete 7,000 emails from Marshalls, DSW, Bloomingdale's, and whoever else.
So when you do go clear it out, what do? You just like search those names as you come across each one and clear out like 200 emails at once?
I try to do like 200 at a time. I'm like, okay. And I've somehow, I don't know how it's gotten this bad. It's been giving me anxiety. The problem is I have a Yahoo email. It's an old Yahoo email.
I told you it's fake at this point.
Well, here's the problem.
It's like a time machine, really.
Yeah, but people still use it. Like, I got a Facebook message from someone I know, and she says, hi, I hadn't heard back from you. I had sent you an invitation to the... She's opening a horse therapy farm.
Okay.
And beautiful. Like, right?
Right.
Why wouldn't I want to go to that? She sent me an invitation to my Yahoo account.
Right, like, because it was 1986 when you opened that account.
Right.
She sent it to the wrong decade.
Well, right. But I think like a lot of old friends or people you know, like they have that old email. So you're hesitant to like get rid of that email because you still need it for real things. But then things get lost in there. It's like a vortex you don't want to be part of.
I don't think I could sleep if the red little box next to my messaging said 3,000. I honestly don't. Mm-hmm. I would probably have a heart attack.
Well, if it makes you feel like I'm a weirdo, here's the truth, is that you're also a weirdo. Because only 30% of people say they have zero unread emails right now, and you have zero.
Zero.
Right.
Yep. So I mean, I don't read a lot of them, but I clear them at least.
Yeah, but that's the difference, is that if I send you important information, you just delete it without reading it. That's not actually accomplishing anything. That's making things worse.
Somehow I feel better, though.
All right, great. Why is it trending? Top three stories that were trending over the weekend, and why? Raven, why do you think Niners is trending?
I mean, they lost right at the last second to Green Bay. I don't know. I mean, I guess it would have to do with the late night football game. I guess giving it up in the last 30 seconds.
Yep, Sunday night football is exactly it. Mm. The 49ers scored a go-ahead touchdown against the Packers, which led them 28-27 with only 37 seconds left on the clock.
Thought that'd be enough.
Right, but no, Aaron Rodgers in primetime had two big pass plays, and that set up their kicker, Mason Crosby, who made a 51-yard field goal. Here's what it sounded like.
Crosby to try to win it, and the kick is good to win the game.
And that was it, and everybody went crazy.
Not me, I was asleep.
All right.
It was a little bit late for me, but right.
Speaking of sports that were trending over the weekend, Joe West was trending.
Oh, yeah, because he's a jerk, because he's always a jerk.
Oh, my gosh, Raven.
He is a jerk. You don't even know who that guy is until you're reading that story right now. That guy has been a jerk for two decades in baseball. He's a terrible umpire.
He is one of the most famous umpires in
history. Yes, because he's always involved in the game in a bad way.
Well, you know that he's retiring this year.
Oh, thank God.
Raven.
Can't be quick enough.
So this is fascinating to me. So it was this call that got him trending over the weekend.
And that's five strikeouts for E-Rod to start tonight.
So what happened was Yankees were taking on the Red Sox, and people have always questioned his strike zone, like Joe West's strike zone.
Because he's terrible.
And once again, he said that he was robbed of a play because it should have been, even the pitcher seemed surprised at the call.
Yeah.
But I just find it fascinating how much hate people love to throw at umpires. Like, they have to do their job. This guy, 1976, he has umped the most games in history.
Yeah, let me correct you. All right, here's the problem, is that the umpire is not supposed to be the focus of the game. He's supposed to call a regulated strike zone all the time, and that way you wouldn't even know his name, because he'd be Mr. Consistency. Mm. All right, but the thing is that he's always inconsistent, and that's why he's always in the middle of it.
You're so mad. Also,
he's terrible.
Over the weekend, Broadway. Why do you think Broadway was trending?
I don't know. I guess they opened or something, probably, if I had to guess.
No, Tony Awards were last night.
Oh, well, fantastic.
Yeah, Moulin Rouge was a big winner. They had 10 Tonys last night. Here
you
go.
Moulin Rouge out for like two decades?
It's the musical, and it was fantastic.
I just feel like that was over like a long, long time ago. I guess I'm wrong.
The musical. When was the last time you were on Broadway?
Quite a while ago. Flag on the place is Joe West.
So you're still mad about Joe West. All right, and the last thing that was trending huge over the weekend is what men think women like. Which is interesting, because it was one of those dumb hashtags where you like see that and then you have to respond with something funny. You got to try to get as many retweets and likes as possible.
Okay.
Some of the things that men think women like include shopping. I mean, I do like to shop.
Are you going to say it's a no?
I kind of like that.
Yeah.
Romantic walks in Home Depot. Hate going to Home Depot with a passion. I hate going to Home Depot. Well, anytime Paul's like, let's go. Come on, we'll go. It'll be fun. It's not going to be fun. What's fun? What is fun about walking up and down these aisles? And absolutely nothing.
Wow.
Plants. Yeah, no, I don't like plants.
No?
Yeah, no, don't like plants. what men think women like? High heels. I certainly don't like high heels.
Okay.
All right. What do you think women like?
Surprises. My wife loves surprises. She likes surprises.
I don't like surprises.
If you had something that you thought of to do for her, but it was a surprise, it's great. She likes making out and holding hands.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of romance.
Are you sure about that?
And then she loves it when I clean the house.
Oh, no.
Or I do my chores.
Yeah. Yes.
If I do chores without her asking me, she loves that.
No, women do like when you do chores. How has your job changed you? 1-800-330-9999. So Taylor Swift, she was joking, but not joking. There's definitely elements of truth. She said that her hands are permanently deformed like claws because of all the autographs she's had to sign over the last, 15 years. And she just did this big autograph session, too, for her new Fearless re-release. She said she had to sign a bazillion CDs that they sold on her website.
Okay.
And she was tweeting about it because she says that her hands are in so much pain and so, deformed now that she's never going to be able to write correctly again.
I mean, I would have thought the calluses on the guitar playing would have started that, too. But
maybe.
Right.
Yeah. I was thinking about it, though. It's like it's one of those things that you don't even think of, but to have to sign all that stuff, like the pain that your hands go through. But I think that every job has something that changes you. What has it been for you?
When I leave her, I don't really listen to music. So I listen to music when I'm in the studio, but I don't really listen to music when I leave work. It's seldom the thing that I want to put on somewhere. I'm not normally like, hey, turn on the radio or turn on the music. If I'm working in the yard, it's cool if it's on just because it helps pass the time. But other than that, yeah, I don't really listen to music all that much.
It's so funny that you brought that up.
And I used to love it, of course.
Yeah, I'm looking over my list, and ironically, I love silence now.
Yeah.
So I can't ever remember a time where, if I got into a car, I didn't put something on. I will sit for my 45-minute commute home
sure.
in dead silence.
Yeah, definitely on the way home, too. It's more likely that I'll have silence than it would be on the way in.
Because in radio, you should never have silence.
Yes.
Obviously.
It's one of the biggest things. When our boss comes in and he's talking to us in the studio, he's like, can you just turn that up for a minute? Can you just turn that up? Like, if we have it turned down as we're doing other work here in the studio, it's like a thing.
But also, I also find that because of what we do, I can't just enjoy, like, listening to the
You don't listen to it the same way.
No, I listen to, like, you know, what do they say in between each songs? I listen to what other DJs say. I listen to how did they do the, like, the
How did the station present themselves?
Yeah,
what do the promos sound like? Right.
Things that normal people would never think of.
We dissect things, of course. Yeah.
For me, one of the big things, too, is that my hearing is shot.
Oh,
so it's like you
Definitely.
Don't... Every time I don't hear what people are saying 90% of the time. And I'm like, I wonder, like, is it my it's just from having the headphones on and the music so loud in your ears all day.
Yeah.
I actually have a cymbal. So, you know, I teach Zumba, too, at a YMCA. And I have a thing that I do with my class where I tell them, I go, if the music's too loud, I go, you're never going to hurt my feelings. I go, it's me. It's not you. I don't realize that the things are too loud. So they have to, they put their hands behind their ears, like they're Dumbo flapping their ears. And I see it in the mirror. And that's like a signal to me that the music's too loud. And I go and I turn it down.
Seems like a strange symbol. I mean, you could have just came in with a thumbs up or a thumbs down. But
well,
okay, Dumbo ears.
They could be talking about the, like, they don't like to dance if they did that.
Yeah,
right?
Could be that too, I suppose. Right.
Yeah. And I can't watch stand-up comedy anymore. Huh. Like, I was a stand-up comedian for years, and I can't watch a stand-up comedian and just sit back and enjoy. I'm always critiquing, like, the pause
in your head. What would you do differently?
Right. How would that punchline could have been funnier?
Yeah. I refuse to buy a t-shirt. I can't buy a t-shirt. I've got a million logoed t-shirts coming to me every single week.
Yeah.
I've got more bed shirts than any person on this planet. I'm not paying for a t-shirt. Not now, not ever.
I get that. There's definitely some casualties that you get because of your job. Absolutely.
Sure.
Taylor Swift says that her hands are permanently deformed like claws because she's had to sign so many autographs. You never even thought about that. Yeah.
I mean, it's like somebody working IT getting carpal tunnel. Do something over and over enough times, right? It's going to have some sort of bearing on your body.
People always say Raven and I are so loud. It's because we can't hear anymore.
Because
we've had headphones in our heads for a million years at this point.
That's true.
What about your job changed you? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Anna and Raven.
So I drive the train, and I remember I used to hate that the service was always so slow and I would be late for work because of something stupid that happened on the train. And now that I'm behind the scenes, I'm like, it's not us, it's you. It's the customer.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I've become more patient.
Well, gaining patience is a good thing, unless you're a commuter. Then you're never going to have patience.
Right. There's always someplace.
Right.
I just tell other people, leave 15 minutes earlier. But it's funny, as animals, we can never do that.
No, never.
Thanks for the call.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. How did your job change you?
Well, I'm a waitress, and I cannot feel my fingertips anymore just from carrying, like, all the hot plates and cups and stuff. So, yeah, no feeling in the fingers.
My wife's kind of got that same thing.
I have it, too.
Right.
Yeah, I always like things that are really hot. Doesn't faze me so much from those plates. No, I get it.
But then you get halfway to the other room, and all of a sudden, then you do feel it. And then now you know it's, like, scorching, and you're like, ah!
No, not really. And I thought, like, my fingers were bad from all the years doing it. But my dad, you know, my father is a chef. It's incredible. Like, he could just, like, reach in the oven and grab stuff. It's like, I'm like, Daddy, I don't think you should do that. He doesn't have any feeling at all anymore.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a real thing.
And Raven, how has your job changed you?
So you would never know that I do hair so well if you looked at my hair. It's made me so lazy. I do not take the time to get my hair done. I have to go get it done from someone else because I'm doing hair all day.
No, I understand.
Put my hair under my wig.
It's so funny you even say that because I always look at all the hairstylist's hair because I would think, like, well, if that's what you do for a living, yours would be perfect. And most of the time, they're, like, tossed up in a bun, a messy bun on top of their head. Probably you don't want to do your own.
Practical purpose, that's it. I mean, if you look at a contractor, it's the same thing, right? I used to know a guy, he was a painter. His house was terrible. He needed it to paint his house so much, but he just would never get to it. Never get to it.
Yeah.
Just don't find the time. By the time you try to start yours and keep your hands in the air to do your own hair, it's like, ugh.
Right. I give up. This will be good enough for now. Thanks.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. How did your job change you?
Before I worked in IT, I never believed in like hackers and identity theft. I'm like, come on, people, be smarter than that. Now that I work in IT, it is legit. It's unbelievable what these hackers are able to do and pull off. So yeah, that's my job has completely changed my perspective on this.
But can I just be real for a minute? I want like a hacker friend. Like, don't you want like one of those friends that like, you know, right. If you needed to know something or how to figure it out or whatever, you just want some friend who takes like a secret floppy disk out from behind their ear and their weird, you know, black jean jacket and then sticks it into a random computer and then gets into the White House. Like, I mean, that to me is interesting.
No, that I don't want.
But no, you don't want that?
No, but I do want somebody that can like fix my electronics a lot. And like when I can't figure out how to do certain things online, that can just like tap into my computer and do it for me. That I want to sign up for.
That's like chapter one of IT work.
Right.
Chapter two is break into the Pentagon.
I need somebody that can just get to chapter one. That's all I need.
That's it. The book's over there.
Right.
Okay.
That's all I need to know about you.
That's all I need to know about you.
All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you're blank, that's all I need to know about you. 1-800-330-9999. Raven, on our text line, if you use GPS, but then you don't actually follow it because you think you know better, that's all I need to know about you.
You only have to make that mistake once or twice in certain areas of the country. And once you do, you'll listen to it forever after that because the traffic will lock you in for days.
My husband and I have this argument every time we're on the road going somewhere.
Yeah.
And he thinks he knows better and the GPS is telling us something
different. Can't do that.
And then he's like, I think this is wrong. I don't know. There's like robots that are in charge of this in space. I'm pretty sure they know. No, it's not going to make a difference if I go this way versus that way. But what if there's a crash? And it's an argument every single time.
Yeah.
Why did we set the GPS if you think you know the better way? It doesn't make sense.
I'm convinced that some people think the GPS is like a companion in the car. It's like just somebody that's like your friend. It's your co-pilot, really, as you drive there. And I do say, you know, that I often say, if you've been somewhere more than twice and you can't find your way there or back, like you don't deserve to make it back home. I've said that before.
And it's not true.
You don't deserve to make it back home. If you have been somewhere more than twice in your lifetime and you went there and you came back to your house and you can't find your way back there from there the third time, you don't deserve to ever return to back to your house.
I blatantly disagree with that.
There are signs.
Okay.
I mean, come on.
Uh-huh.
If you are the person that is cutting down live branches off of a tree in the woods while you're camping, that's all I need to know about you. For your fire. It's amazing the things that you will witness while man camping, Anna. The things that happen on my site, of course, we can't talk about because what happens during man camping stays during man camping.
Of course.
The things that we observe on the sites around us often are crazy. So last year, remember, we had the guy that ran into the boulder twice with his truck?
Yes.
We're pretty convinced that was the end of his marriage.
Yeah.
Was right there during that camping trip. Same site. Directly across from us, again this time, there is a gentleman who is cutting branches with a saw. With a saw off a live tree the morning after so he can stoke his fire.
They don't
even burn right, man.
Isn't that the point of going into the woods, to find things on the floor?
Not on the tree.
Right.
The floor.
You know what
I mean.
1-800-330-9999. Tana and Raven, that's all I need to know about you.
Okay, if you've got political bumper stickers on your car, that's all I need to know about you. I don't care how you're voting, just get out there and vote.
I don't care what you're doing. Just get out of my way.
I was about to say the same thing.
If I'm reading the bumper stickers on your car, then you're moving slower than I need you to. Just get the hell out of my way. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day. 1-800-330-9999. Just fill in the blank. If you're blank, that's all I need to know about you. You always hear about all these unique proposals and creative things that people do. But turns out there's just really six rules when it comes to the perfect proposal.
Six? That's it? I mean, anybody can remember that.
Right. Raven screwed up his proposal. Not that you screwed it up. She said yes, and you've been married now for a while.
Right. I mean, it seems like I got the job done.
Yeah, but I was saying, like, the anniversary coming up, you should re-propose to her after that weirdo thing.
I mean,
thing
she
you
wants
did.
To get renewal of vows, re-proposal. I mean, everything's got to be redone.
I don't know.
Yeah, what happens if you blow it the next time? Well, we'll redo it next time. I mean,
all right.
Come on.
You're like, it's done now. I screwed it up.
We've been together 14 years.
All right. Six golden rules of the proposal. One, ask for permission. Did you ask her father for permission?
I did.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yep. Okay. Number two, my husband asked my dad for permission too, which was certainly no easy task because, you know, my dad is from Italy, very strict, all that.
And the had to bring him a goat and some tobacco.
Oh, forget it.
To make a trade.
My dad asked him if he wanted to take our last name instead of me having to take his last name.
Well, I mean, it's a pretty serious last name.
We've got a beautiful, strong Italian name.
Right.
Your name is Polish. Now, I don't just want... I remember when he told me afterwards, I'm like, Daddy, like, honestly?
Yeah.
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 I tried to convince him,
he thought
him
he was being funny.
Yeah. Okay, number two, private versus public. You should only be public if you're 1,000% sure that they will say yes. And in many cases, a public proposal is frowned upon.
I mean, it feels like pressure, right? I mean, how can you be 1,000% sure somebody's going to say yes, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you do the public thing if you really want to pressure them in it. We're going to do it at Yankee Stadium, real classy. It's going to be good. Mm-hmm. It's going to be real good.
My favorite is when they say no on the big screen.
I mean, I feel like those are actors if they say no.
Right. It has to be a surprise. That's interesting. I don't know if it's really true. It has to be a surprise. I mean, you shouldn't.
I mean, not for nothing.
You got a feeling.
Not for nothing. But girls put the, you know, they let you know that they want you to ask. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of times, right? So how much of a surprise can it truly be?
Make sure you have the ring. Don't, like, make sure you have it ready.
Yeah.
That would be disappointing if you're at the biggest moment and you're so excited and he's like, well, or she is like, okay, it's going to be 6 months till your ring is ready. Uh-huh. What?
Well, once you get the ring, it really becomes like a race. Like, you get nervous holding on to it. You really want to do it. And so sometimes that speeds things up. On the other hand, what if you're just caught in a romantic moment, Anna, and you say, I want to marry you. Will you marry me? And you don't have a ring ready to go.
It's not a real proposal.
No?
No.
Okay.
Take a knee. You should always take a knee. Did you get down on one knee?
I did.
Okay. And do something memorable and make it unique.
I wasn't riding a unicycle. Didn't throw up on myself or anything like that. No, missed that one.
Yeah, that's what we're going to get to coming up next. What Raven did during his proposal and why it was so disappointing for poor Alicia. The 6 golden rules of the proposal. 1, ask for permission. 2, only be public if you're 1,000% sure they'll say yes. 3, it has to be a surprise. 4, make sure you have the ring in your hand. 5, always take a knee. And 6, do something memorable and make it unique. I think that's the problem, Raven, with your proposal, that why you're so disappointed after all these years.
Well, I got 3 out of 6, and it was unique for me to ask her at the dinner table after everybody had left for Thanksgiving at that point. I mean, you know, that's kind of what happened with my proposal. What are you going to do?
I'm just surprised because, I mean, she had been cooking all day.
Yeah.
Now you had cleaned the house.
Listen, I deep fried a turkey that day. It was a busy day. I had cleaned up the house. I was doing the dishes in the kitchen.
Right.
And we had spent a lot of time with our family together, both sides of our family. And I thought to myself after, wow, isn't this nice? We could do this forever. Of course, I had the ring burning a hole in my pocket. I mean, I guess it wasn't what she expected.
Well, you know,
should have been some sort of horse. Maybe me flying in on a plane. Definitely something more romantic and somebody videotaping.
I actually read on one of these articles that you should always propose early in the day if you're going to be with family and friends so you can celebrate throughout the day. So it might not have been so bad if you had done it on Thanksgiving, but if you would have done it in the morning, she would have been excited all day to show the ring and
best
to talk
part
about
is,
it.
My mom forgot her phone in her car that night, so she didn't say congratulations till like halfway through the next day.
Oh, good.
She thought that my mom wasn't pumped about it.
1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What happened at your proposal?
Hi, good morning. So my husband asked my grandma for permission, which was okay because she had the ring. However, I was laying in bed. My glasses were on. I was about to go to sleep. And he hopped on the bed, shoved the ring in my face and said, I'm scared I'm going to lose it. Here you go.
I'm telling you, once guys get the ring, being nervous is a real thing. Like, we feel like it's just burning a hole in our pocket. And even if we have a plan, the plan usually goes out the window. Sometimes we have a plan that we know we want to get married. We know we want to ask you, but we haven't gotten to the part where we figured out how to do the proposal yet. And then we get the ring, and then we move too fast after that, and then we blow the proposal. I mean, it's kind of what happened with me. I should have made a better plan before I actually got the ring in my hand, because once the ring was in my hand, I freaked out.
I mean, yeah, he really blew it, but we've been married 13 years and have 4 kids, so I don't know. Maybe he did it right.
So, I mean, what would you have preferred? That he made sure that you looked beautiful, that there was a photo taken or a video. Yeah, something like that to remember it.
I mean, you know, something on one knee would have been all right and maybe a form of a question. But hey, I got what I got.
Right. I don't know how high your bed is, but I mean, if he was on one knee, you might not have seen him. So there's that.
That's very true.
Good morning, Anna and Raven. What happened during your proposal?
Okay, so my husband was supposed to propose at a restaurant, but I found out. So we had to pivot, and we were at dinner at his house, and we were watching a show, and all of a sudden, he comes on TV after three commercials. He had videoed himself proposing to me with our wedding song playing in the background.
I mean, how did he wire that thing into the TV? I mean, that's pretty genius, huh?
No, he videoed himself at his office with three commercials before it, so I wouldn't notice the channel change. And there he was on the TV, and now we have it for all posterity.
That's cool.
That's so nice. One of the biggest golden rules of proposing is you have to do something memorable and make it unique, which is a lot of pressure when you think about it. But what did you do that you'll never forget at your proposal? 1-800-330-9999. Anna and Raven.
Good morning. It was so beautiful and very memorable. My husband told me the night before to get ready, to be ready by 4 o'clock in the morning and to bring the video camera. So I was ready. We were driving and we pulled into a beautiful lot of hot air balloons. And we went up in the hot air balloon, and he had already arranged a beautiful sign that said, "Will you marry me, Joanna?" And as we were going over the landscape, we looked down, and there was the sign. And he was waiting there on his knee in the balloon. That was really beautiful.
That is beautiful. Hot air balloons terrify me.
I was about to say, I would be so nervous and scared. I'd be like, yes, please take me down.
Right. Put us down immediately.
Because I immediately would think that if I said no, they would throw me over, and that would be the end of my life.
Hot air balloons.
It was the most serene, quiet thing. It was so quiet up there. You heard nothing but the fire.
Yeah.
I would never do it now because fear sets in at a certain age, but it was wonderful.
Yeah. Wow. It sounds great. Again, just get me on the ground. But thank you for sharing.
You.
That's beautiful.
Anna and Raven, what happened to your proposal that you'll never forget?
Oh, Lord Jesus. So my partner thought it would be cute to put the wedding ring inside a wine glass. So a couple of drinks later, I drink it, and guess what? I choke. I need to get the Heimlich to get the ring out of my throat.
Come on.
I'll never, ever forget it. But here we are 13 years later.
Oh my gosh.
That's terrifying.
Right.
At least it wasn't like the dog where they have to follow you around for the next few days with a bag.
Right.
Wow.
True.
Oh, no, but yep, here we are. That's only 13 years later.
How big is your gulp? My gosh.
Thank you for the call.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Where was your proposal?
Oh, my gosh. It was on a plane and an airplane.
I always hear about that, and they always go viral. Did everybody sing? Did the flight attendants come on the thing? Oh, no. Oh.
Everybody was cheering and screaming, and it was so exciting. And kind of the whole meaning behind it is that my husband and I actually met on a plane. We were sitting next to each other years ago, and we started talking, and he was the one, and I was the one. And so it was just so that much more meaningful that he proposed on a plane. It was so cute.
Did he have to tell the flight attendants that he was going to do it? And was there a third person in the row with you? And what did they say?
There was a third person in the row. It was very awkward. she was at the window. And it was a little awkward for her. But unfortunately, we don't have tickets for life on that airline. But no, and my husband didn't tell the flight attendants.
Oh, well, as soon as you get up and you stand up for too long, I'm going to be like, can you sit down? Can you sit down, sir? I'm going to need you to sit down. No,
the seatbelt light was on still.
Yeah, I'm going to need you to sit down, sir.
And he said that his life has been turbulent since he's met me.
That's funny.
Good luck.
Right. Thank you for the call. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What happened at your proposal?
So it wasn't really that crazy. Actually, my now wife actually proposed to me. She said I was taking too long. So I guess that's kind of crazy. And I said yes. It took a lot of pressure off, so I was kind of happy she did that.
I love that. I love that when women like step up and they do it. I don't know why it's always got to be the guy that proposes to the girl. I gave my husband an ultimatum. It was so romantic. Like, if you don't figure out a way to propose to me in the next 3 months, I'm moving out and taking all the furniture. Like, yeah. But, yeah. It wouldn't have made a life a lot easier if I just proposed to him, right? Raven went man camping this weekend. and he was sitting around. How many guys went?
There was 8 of us.
Okay. And I kept thinking about 8 guys sitting in the woods in a campfire drinking gross old whiskey and making sausage and peppers. What could we do to entertain me? So I sent him questions that he had asked the guys.
I want you to know that I never even looked at the questions until I went around to ask the guys. And I went around and asked the guys in the middle of Predator. So Predator mm-hmm. had begun. They're already in the jungle. One of their guys has been taken out. And then I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I got to pause it.
Uh-huh.
Right before that part where Carl Weathers and Arnold Schwarzenegger build all those traps.
All right.
I mean, that's a bad place to pause if you didn't know.
Let's see how it went.
Yeah. A new book came out, said Patrick Dempsey was a nightmare to work with on Grey's Anatomy. Who was hotter, McDreamy or McSteamy?
I think McSteamy.
McSteamy.
It's in the name.
You had that salt and pepper thing going on, too. Looked real good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
All right. No one seemed to be concerned that you were just asking who's hotter, McDreamy or McSteamy.
That was Jim was in the middle of setting up his tent and he brought his old living room furniture.
Mm-hmm.
So he was a little bit out of breath when it happened. He would have said anything to get away from me.
Understood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's keep going.
Do you think that Shawn Mendes and Camilo Cabello are actually in love or do you think it's just the longest publicity stunt ever?
Well, what do you think?
I think they're going to be in love forever.
Well, they have been. So
it's been a while.
So can they go all the way?
That's really the
What's
question.
What's the distractions that's going to get in the way, though?
Money. Fame.
Other people? No way.
Right.
Yeah. They'll make it because they have nowhere else to go.
They have nowhere else to go.
That's right.
Shawn Mendes.
It's the end of the line for both
Camilla
of them.
And Camilo Cabello.
Right.
Neither of them will ever find anybody else or that's love right. again.
If you ask Bill, that's what Bill says.
Yep.
Britney Spears, Sam Asghari. What do you think about all the hype about the prenup?
Go for it. She needs to start over. Let's get going.
All right, but should he sign the prenup?
Well, I don't know what's in it for him.
Besides being with Britney Spears.
Yeah, there's not enough for that. So.
I don't know what he had without her, so.
Right. You might as well just not even bother with that.
Yeah.
I like to imagine you guys sipping your whiskey, having right. these deep conversations about Britney Spears and Sam Asghari.
We did continue on with conversation after, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, I've got a question for you. So, Kim Kardashian is really pushing this contoured face makeup look lately. Do you think cheeks should be that defined?
It depends on how much money you have.
Mm-hmm.
If you have more money and you have more, if you have more presence on social media, mm-hmm. You might be disappointing girls all over the place.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. I didn't know. When he said it, I didn't know.
I was like, what does cheek contouring have yeah. to do with disappointing women all over the world and children?
In his mind, yeah. he thought he had an answer that was going to be crafty.
Yeah.
But he lost it there because he actually had no idea what it was he was talking about.
Last one.
Yeah. Do you think Bennifer will make it this time?
No, I don't believe so. Because J-Lo is in her cougar mode and she's going to want somebody young.
I think he's 3 years younger than her.
She's going to go like 15 years.
Okay.
15 years younger.
Yeah. All right.
Instead of buying a car, she's going to get a young boyfriend.
He had like deep thoughts. He was really into that. He's like, you know what? Don't even put Predator back on. I want to talk about Bennifer for the rest of the night.
Let's break this down. Right.
Joey Okeson, I have watched grow up. You've always been an incredible snowboarder. We know that. But now you're on the U.S. snowboarding team. You're an Olympic hopeful. And I am so proud of you.
Oh, my God. Don't cry.
Thank you guys for having me. It's always nice to see you.
How did it start, your path to become on the U.S. snowboarding team?
My love for snowboarding. That's where it started. I never thought that it would end up to where I am right now. But, yeah, I just love snowboarding. Have done it since I was around 9 years old. My mom is an absolute trooper, would drive me up to Vermont every weekend, me and my little brother, and we would just start competing locally, and it kind of just turned into what it is now. I don't know. It's been a crazy journey.
Right, in the last few weeks now, you're hanging out at Chloe Kim's in L.A., you're skateboarding at Tony Hawk's house, like, I mean,
yeah,
that's your life.
It's been fun, yeah. It's a pretty fun lifestyle, you know, snowboarding. I owe it a lot.
So, Joey just participated and competed at the X Games this year. Now, I know this sounds mean when I say it out loud.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm just saying that when the Japanese would compete against Joey,
uh-huh.
and I would always assume that, like, they're our enemy. Like, we don't want them to win. They're the competition.
Oh my gosh.
But Joey, you're friends with all your competitors. Like, you hang out with them even though they don't speak English.
Yeah, no, the Japanese are the best. I love them.
Anna would be under these people's bunk beds cutting out Achilles' heels if she could as they went it off to the bathroom. They were my friend, but they were never able to walk the same again.
I'm like, Joey's been working his whole life for this.
I would imagine it's much the same with many of them.
I'm sure. But you guys, like, you can't actually speak, but you hang out. And I was joking that I talked to one artist a long time ago, and she said that when she did, like, duets with, remember when we talked to Charlie XCX, and she was saying how she would communicate with, like, the Korean pop stars by just using emojis? Joey said that it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, I think that when you're talking about competition like this, Joey, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the margins for the point differences are so small. Like, I mean, if you stay upright and you don't fall down, then for most of us, like, we barely see the difference between one or the other.
Yeah.
And it seems to me like on any day with the law of averages, you'll probably do that run 3 times better than you might in competition at one point. You know what I mean? In the same day, and another time you end up on your face. I mean, that's just kind of how it works.
Yeah. It's definitely tough on the body after a while. You know, the margin for error is so small in half pipe because you have only so much room to land. So, like, if you mess up a little bit, then you're going to be feeling it for a couple of weeks for sure.
Every time you're up in the air,
oh my gosh,
my heart stops for your mom. And I'm like, dear Jesus, just let him land it safe. Let him land it safe. Like, you don't get scared like that.
It's scary. I can't lie. Yeah, I get scared. Yeah. Right. But I love it because when it goes well, it's like the greatest feeling.
So what's next? So now you're competing for a spot in the Olympics. How many spots are there actually going from the U.S. team?
There are 4 spots.
4 spots.
Yeah.
So now you guys all compete kind of against each other at this point for those 4 spots.
Yeah.
And when do we know if you're going to make it to China?
Pretty much by January, I'll know.
But you're one of the youngest on the team, right?
Yeah, I'm the youngest on the pro level team.
That's insane because...
That would be exciting.
It's exciting if you make it, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But you're still so young, and you have, like, after this China Winter Games, then your Italy is the next one, right?
Yeah.
So you have so much time to grow in addition. Like, you're just starting your journey, which is so exciting. If people want to follow you and watch your journey and see all the cool places you go and the things you do, where can they follow you?
My Instagram is Joey Okeson. Pretty much posts pretty frequently about what I'm up to, and yeah.
I want to spell that Joeyokesson.
Yes,
make sure you get
correct.
That right. And Joey, any advice you have for young people that their dream is to go to the Olympics too?
I mean, you got to remind yourself why you love your sport, and that should be your main motivator.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day, a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Adam and Lucy. Adam, what happened?
So, like, a couple months ago, I noticed the charge on my credit card for the NFL store, and I thought it was, like, a gift that Lucy had bought me, so I kind of, like, waited a little bit, and nothing ever came. So, finally, I went to her, and I said, hey, what's this charge for the NFL store? And she basically said she remembers doing that, but she bought a coworker a sweatshirt. And I was like, I'm like, what the hell, you know, that's an inappropriate gift. And I, especially since she's never bought me anything from the NFL store. So there you go. Mm.
Okay.
Yeah, I get it. A little bit of feelings hurt there, right? You thought you were getting something awesome.
Right. Mm. Exactly.
Yeah, Lucy, it turns out it went to another dude.
Another dude.
Lucy, do you normally just buy your coworkers gifts?
Well, I just think he's overreacting. So, yeah, we do all exchange gifts. We've been working together for 10 years. We've been good friends all this time. Like, I just don't understand why this is a big deal. It was his birthday. Like, I see this guy every day. He's a good friend. He knows nothing's going on.
Yeah,
like,
but you see me every day. You've never bought me anything from the NFL.
Yeah, but
I bought you tons of stuff. She's not from the NFL store. Like,
and I guess it would have been so bad. It would have been so bad had you come to me first and said, hey, I'm going to do this. I might have understood, but I had to actually come to you. So it's kind of like you lied to me.
Well, I didn't even lie because I didn't even think I had to check with you. I mean, we both put money into this account. So I just didn't think it was a big deal. Like,
if I go and buy the Challenger that I want without discussing it first with you, wouldn't you think you'd have a problem with me buying a brand new car?
Okay, but that's way different than a sweatshirt.
Yes, right. I would say that's a leap.
Than
there.
A
all right.
sweatshirt, yes.
You know what? Am I the only person that's curious here, Anna, as to what did your coworker get you for your last birthday?
Well, you got me nothing. So
you were on vacation,
right? But you never get me anything for my birthday.
Well,
I'm
you don't
lucky
get me
if
a,
you text me. On
you don't
my birthday.
Give me a birthday present. We do Christmas.
Yeah, but your birthday is Christmas, so I just gave you a really nice Christmas gift.
Oh, so you're just the latest person to cheat me out of my birthday, knowing how I feel about my birthday being in the vicinity of Christmas.
But don't I always get you a really nice Christmas / birthday gift?
You got me a hat last year.
That hat was expensive. Okay, listen. What we do is we ask our audience what they think, and they may agree with you, Adam, that it's inappropriate for her to be buying a male coworker a birthday present. But they may see Lucy's side, too. If it's a friend that she's just been working with for many years, what's the big deal? She bought him a sweatshirt. It was not like she was trying to hide it from you. She put it on a shared credit card.
Sweatshirt on NFL.com. $50-$60. No question about it. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
I think it's a touchy subject for a lot of people. So Adam is upset that his wife, Lucy, purchased an NFL sweatshirt for one of her male coworkers for his birthday. But she says, what are you mad about? He's like my work husband. We've been friends. Like, it's just a sweatshirt. It's his birthday.
Well, I mean, maybe if he never heard that phrase before, maybe it bothers him a little bit. It is a nice gift, right? And if you've never gotten one before, you say to yourself, well, that's a thoughtful gift, right? On the other hand, if your coworkers, somebody's favorite football team might be realistically one of the only things you know about them,
oh,
right?
Because
it's a mug on their desk, right? It's a poster in their cubicle or anything like that. It's how you know that person. So I don't know.
What do you think? Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Couples Court.
I'm on his side. It seems a little weird because she doesn't mention buying gifts for any other coworkers but this guy.
Well, I guess that is true. You were like, that sounds a little bit shady. Okay. Anna bought me a hat, and it had a custom feather in it. Custom.
Now you feel bad that you made fun of the fact that I bought you that really nice hat.
No, I just wonder if you're secretly in love with me because you bought me an ostrich feather to go with it.
Right. Definitely it. Definitely. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? Couples Court. Adam is upset that his wife, Lucy, bought her coworker, her male coworker, an NFL sweatshirt for his birthday. She doesn't see the big deal. It was just a sweatshirt. It was his birthday. They've been friends for many years.
Yeah, he keeps contending that it's not an appropriate gift. But at the same time, I think it might just be a little bit of jealousy. It is a nice gift, admittedly so. Is it too nice to give to somebody that you work next to?
And what do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Couples Court.
I'm on the guy's side. I think that if it's a situation like this where you have to get someone's opinion on this, imagine what the coworkers would be thinking. You don't want to stir up drama within the office.
That's interesting.
I think
you know
depends,
I hadn't thought about that.
But it depends on the office. Like, I think around here, nobody would think twice.
Yeah, but
know?
Our office is not like many other offices.
But doesn't everybody say that?
I would hope so.
Right.
But I don't think that they all do, if I'm honest.
Okay. Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm totally on her side. He just seems to be acting like a petulant little child. He's not upset that she gave her coworker a present. He's upset he gave her coworker a present from the NFL store, and he didn't get anything from the NFL store. And then to be so rude as to say, well, since we both put money in there, I should be able to buy a car? Grow up, dude.
Right. Thank you for the call. And on Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on the girlfriend's side. Close coworkers and friends get each other gifts, and boyfriend sounds emotionally unstable and self-conscious.
Should there be a limit, though, on what you spend for a coworker gift? Should there be?
Oh, I think it depends on the coworker.
Mm.
I mean, I have like limits in my head on how much I spend for each coworker, like for Christmas time and all that. But
right.
I mean, I don't know. I don't. Not really. Right?
Oh, okay.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Lucy, our audience agreed with you. Adam, it's not like she's trying to hide anything. She bought him a sweatshirt. It's not an intimate thing. She's just buying a coworker who happens to be a friend's sweatshirt for his birthday.
But there's a difference between buying like a sweatshirt from the local Walmart as opposed to buying an NFL sweatshirt.
Is there?
Well, there is.
Yeah, there really is.
I mean, there is a difference in that, but, you know, I mean, either way, you didn't get the vote. So, Lucy, you got to be relieved. You got to feel good.
I'm very relieved. Yeah, obviously. I feel like this is justice. Yep.
You know, a little bit of validation is good. On the other hand, we don't know if your coworker is wearing that sweatshirt to bed naked. We don't know.
Raven, why would you go there?
I'm just saying. I mean, all right? All
he's
right?
not naked if he's got the sweatshirt on.
Well, it becomes more intimate if it's touching his skin
okay.
with no undershirt. All right? Then it's intimate.
All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
All right, Lauren, we have $2,400 on the line. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Lauren.
Lauren, I really want you to win, okay?
I do, too.
All right. Raven's walking out of here. When that door closes, you can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. It's 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I bring them back in, ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven. You beat them. $2,400 in your pocket. Sound good?
Very good.
Number one, Cindy Crawford returned to the runway at Rihanna's Savage X Fenty fashion show. Other models that took the runway include Adriana Lima, Gigi Hadid, and Adam Levine's wife. Who is that?
Bahati Prinsloo.
Number two, Michael Strahan joined Jimmy Fallon at Madame Tussauds Waxwork Museum to scare people by pretending to be his wax figure, then coming to life. He left Live with Kelly and Michael to be on what morning show?
Good Morning America.
Number three, it's Banned Books Week, a celebration of freedom to read whatever you like. Some books that have been tried to be banned unsuccessfully include Of Mice and Men, Alice in Wonderland, and the autobiography I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. Who wrote that autobiography?
Oh, gosh. I don't know that one.
That's okay. Number four, Moulin Rouge was the big winner at the Tony Awards. The Moulin Rouge is a cabaret in what city and country?
Paris, France.
And number five, Squid Games is trending again on Twitter. Squid Games is a show on Netflix, and it originates from what country?
Japan.
Okay, let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
All right, Lauren got 3 out of 5.
Pretty good. Let's see how I do, Lauren. I know it's book week.
Number one, Cindy Crawford returns to the runway at Rihanna's Savage X Fenty fashion show.
Oh, boy, did she?
Yep. She opened the show. Other models that took the runway include Adriana Lima, Gigi Hadid, and Adam Levine's wife. Who is that?
Bahati Prinsloo.
Yep.
You love to get me on her.
Number two, Michael Strahan joined Jimmy Fallon at Madame Tussauds Waxwork Museum to scare people by pretending to be his wax figure and then coming to life.
Mm.
He left Live with Kelly and Michael to be on what morning show?
Oh, he's on Good Morning America.
Yes. Number three, it's Banned Books Week, a celebration of freedom to read whatever you'd like. Some books that have unsuccessfully tried to be banned in history include Of Mice and Men, Alice in Wonderland, and the autobiography I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. Who wrote that autobiography?
That's Maya Angelou.
Yes.
That one I know.
All right. I'm glad because I was going to be sad if you didn't know that one.
Oh, yeah.
Number four.
Read that one.
Moulin Rouge was the big winner at the Tony Awards. The Moulin Rouge is a cabaret in what city and country?
It's Paris, France, right?
Yep. And number five, Squid Games is trending again on Twitter. Squid Games is a show on Netflix, and it originates in what country?
I'll just take a shot and say Australia.
No, it's South Korea.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Lauren. He beat you 4-3 this morning. That gets you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Woo!
I'm Lauren, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $2,500 tomorrow.
Oh, man. If you know your pop culture trivia, you think you can take them down, you could always enter to play at annaandraven.com. And if you have a question that you think may stump him, you could also enter it there.